Yes.
Hey, grandkids. Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 244. Yeah, I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as usual, is Mr. Dusty Giebink. How you doing, Dusty?
Well, you know, considering the cats knocked down every plant in our house today, I'm all right.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like fun.
I'll paint you a picture here. We got one room that we call the cat room, right? Because that's where the cats hang out. And Beck decided, and now in retrospect, it seems like a terrible idea to put plants in the cat room. But it's the best place. It's like a sunroom because there's just a huge, like, sliding door thing into a patio, right? So there's lots of sunlight coming in, good for plants. So I walk into a situation where pretty much every plant has been knocked down. And I'm pretty sure it was all by the same cat, whose new name will be Gone, if this keeps up. So.
Yeah.
So that was fun, cleaning that up. And, you know, I don't.
Cats seem to know how to wreak havoc.
If we had two cats, if we could narrow our house down to just two cats and have it be the two Himalayans, nothing would ever happen. Himalayans are awesome, low maintenance, like no maintenance, really. They don't talk, they don't bother you, they'll just sit there, they'll be petted sometimes, feed me sometimes. It's great. They're great cats. But the other two, could you invent more trouble than they get into? So,
I would imagine not with that kind of a question.
No. So that's what's going on here. But this was my early day. I got home early. So I took a couple hours to nap because when you're working 12-hour shifts day after day, it's hard to get regular sleep. So every short Wednesday, I like to take a little nap like that because it's just sleep is so hard to come by when you have to work half the day, you know? And then it's another hour of travel time. It's just I'll never get used to it.
Oh, and you have an hour of travel time to boot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's most of my day.
Yeah, and you can't just drive that long and just go right to bed when you get back. You're like, on the drive, you're always sitting there going, I am so tired right now.
Yes, exactly.
You walk in that house and you're like, fuck, why am I so goddamn awake right now?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. No, I can only imagine that's no fun.
There's a reason
I picked a location close to my residence to work at.
Well, I mean, if you've been unemployed for over a year and a half, you take what you can get.
Right.
You take what you can get. So.
Oh yeah, no, because I know that younger brother's wife had that problem. Well, I think she still currently has that problem, even though they moved locations.
Okay.
And she drove from Youngstown to Canton every day, and I think it was like with the traffic, it ended up being like an hour and a half one way, I think.
Oh, God, that's brutal.
Because normally I would say it's about a half hour to Kent from Youngstown, and then another 40. Well, yeah, no, it's about an hour and 15 minutes, I think.
Sure.
So the traffic added on maybe it was more than an hour and a half. It might have been 2 hours now that I talk out the distances just on a good day.
That's just insane.
So yeah, no, she. I think it was 2 hours that that she had to deal with, because it was like an extra half hour on top of what the what a regular trip would be, which is about $1.15, hour and a half. So yeah, no, she had something to do, so she was gonna do it.
Okay. I remember when I was going to school in St. Cloud, Minnesota, there was a girl in one of my classes who lived in and traveled from whatever Dakota connects to Minnesota. I think it's South Dakota. And so she lived, like, right near the border of South Dakota, and it was probably, like, a three-hour drive to get to the campus. And she was like, well, I only do it once a week. I have all my classes in one day. And I'm like, you're driving 6 hours. You know? Like, you're insane.
Yeah, no, there's just not a good way to justify that one.
No. No, that's crazy. Does South Dakota not have schools? I mean, I know they don't have people. But,
yeah, the only school I know in a Dakota is North Dakota, because they have a good college hockey team.
Ah, yes, very good.
I think they're formerly the Fighting Sioux, which is just a shame.
Okay. We can't mention those Indian names.
Yep, not allowed to do that. Yeah. We're going to get kicked off of podcast land.
Look out, look out.
Because I brought that up.
Look, politically correctness has a place, but Bomani Jones has been calling the Washington football team the R's. I mean, can't you hear yourself say the R's and go, yeah, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to do that anymore. I guess not.
Yeah, no, that's just silly. I mean, I definitely get the argument more for that, just because it was a derogatory term, and some of the other ones aren't really.
I agree with his logic, but call it something other than the R's also.
Yeah, well, I know that you could just go with the do what many of the schools did and just move to Red something. You got the St. John's Red Storm, Miami of Ohio. Even when I started to go to school, we're still the Redskins, and they changed to the Red Hawks.
Okay.
Sometime after, because yeah, I started going to Kent in '99, and they were still the Skins. Because I think Wally Szczerbiak was a red skin and not a red hawk.
You are correct.
So those are the two main examples I can think of, since I watch a lot of Big East and a lot of MAC.
Yeah. But there's a lot of red things in this world that they can just make a smooth transition to red something. In my opinion. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's a famous. I'm trying to think if there's a Red Hill, famous like in the wars or something like that. If you want to go with some Washington callback.
The Battle of Red Hill. Somebody look that up for us.
excuse me.
You're drinking Wisconsin style today, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm still, because I've intermittently had some other beers. I got the 12-pack from my friend there that originally hails from Keel, Wisconsin. And it's Ale Asylum Ambergetten.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, and that's the difference, is they have more hops in it than normal.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, the Ambergetten, it has a little more hops than normal.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know if I like it. I guess I like just good maltiness in my ambers.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a Battle of Red Cliffs, which is a Chinese thing. So I am way off.
Well, that's fine.
Oh well, whatever.
Yeah. Yep. So what do we got going on today? I feel like there's a lot to talk about.
What's the biggest news? Is it the Ultimate Warrior?
Probably. That's one of the biggest things. That was a surprise to me. You kind of half thought that he would never get inducted. But maybe all is forgiven now that they've had the chance to bury him, you know? They got that out of their system, and now they can honor him. Kind of backwards logic, but okay. We'll go with it.
Yeah, well, the WWE seems to work with that backwards logic quite a bit.
Yep.
So, you know, because it's not like they didn't have their digs at Bruno Sammartino in the meantime.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't think the Ultimate Warrior is any different in that department.
No, I mean, lately they've been really surprising me with all this stuff. Like, they're just burying the hatchet right and left. Maybe Vince feels like he's close to death or something, and he just doesn't want any regrets. Who the hell knows?
I've seen that idea floated out. I mean, obviously you're never really going to know the answer to that unless he comes out and says it. But I would think that that argument is very easy to make.
right.
Like, it's kind of spitting on a tee for you, because he really isn't getting a whole lot younger. So,
no, man, he looks bad. It's kind of sad, you know, this guy he grew up with. I mean, I know he's not the best person in the world. It's sort of like feeling bad for Richard Nixon, you know. But you can look past all that bad stuff he did. He did some good stuff, so...
He did create quite a brand for himself here, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did okay.
I hope he gets buried in one of those, like, canary blue suits that he used to wear back in the day. That's my one hope.
That would be outstanding. It's either that, or they're going to put him in the suit that he used to do the dance video.
Yes! Amazing. That would be wonderful to commemorate that great moment.
I mean, it may be one of the, aside from that, I think the other top Vince moments they love to show, especially for the embarrassment route, is the in the hospital when Austin hits him with the bedpan.
Yeah. So what are you burying him in, just the hospital robe?
Well, that'd just be wrong, really. But
well, something. I don't know.
But, you know, I mean, come on, they've done Big Show's dad casket surfing, so, you know, I honestly wouldn't put it beyond Vince to actually make an angle. He's like, okay, now, I'm planning out this angle when I die.
I was just going to say that. I would not be surprised at all. And oh, how mad would, like, Wade and Dave Meltzer be? It would almost make it worth it to hear their reaction.
Oh, man, if they did that, I would be in tears. Because I can just hear, you know, you can just already hear, like, with the, just even being in an imaginary scenario, you can just imagine those type of people just bitching up a storm and saying how wrong it is and everything.
Yeah. Oh, my God. People would be pushing each other over to get to the keyboard and type out their rage. It would be wonderful.
Oh, man.
Austin gives the corpse the stunner. Something.
Stand that some bitch up one more time. Yeah, Larry.
That would be great.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it should be about the Ultimate Warrior, really.
Right.
But, I guess that's the other thing, is that people are, they're just already drooling over his induction speech.
Oh, yeah. That man knew how to talk, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and did I see people taking bets on the over-under for, like, slurs during his speech?
Do you think that'll happen, or do you think he'll just be, you know, kind of cool about it?
You know, I would think that he would be kind of cool because, you know.
I hope so.
Even in his crazed rants, he kind of has a real focus.
Sure.
To the way he does it. Like, I mean, I guess, you know, I get when I've watched a couple of those, I'm just like, okay, I guess I know why I liked him when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, he really has
that
charisma.
He still has that thing that jumps off the screen at you when you watch those old tapes. Absolutely right. Like, oh, yeah, that's the reason I liked him more than Hogan. He's got that thing. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, that's why it's, well, people get that all messed up, too. I don't know why. Do people look down at the Warriors slightly more than Hogan now at this point?
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know,
he's been tarnished, so.
Yeah, and I guess I missed the whole tarnishing part of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and really, by the time I realized what his stance was on some of the stuff, I'm like, okay, this guy's just nuts. Like, I don't care. It doesn't affect my memory of what I watched when I was a child.
Right.
Fuck it. He's a wacko, and that's fine. Because I was so pumped. And I still got a little pissed when they were showing the highlights, because I remember being pissed. I didn't know what selling was then, but seeing Hogan kick out almost immediately after the three count at WrestleMania, it pissed me off then, and it pissed me off when I was watching the replay. I'm like, dude, really? You couldn't even take that pin?
I know. Yeah. Oh, I'm with you, man.
So, yeah, that's one of those ones to me that's kind of funny that, to me, looking on it in reverse, I'm even, in hindsight, it makes me more irritated even though I knew it. Like, I didn't know the specifics as a child, but now I understand what the subtext was of that action. It's just like, oh, man, what a dick move.
Right. Oh, it was the biggest dick move, man. That guy sucks.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think what else there was. But, I don't think that because he's not going to have a crowd to worry about and it's all going to be a pro-warrior crowd.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's in somewhat of a controlled environment.
Right. Organized chaos. He can get a little crazy, everything will be cool. So.
Yeah. But it certainly does. Since we do have tickets down there officially now, mm-hmm. it does pique my interest.
Who do you think is going to induct him?
That's a good question. Because I don't know who can induct him.
I mean, Hogan?
It can't be Rick Rude.
No.
Because, I mean, I guess I'm just trying to think of other, like, iconic rivalries, and it would, you know, it can't be Randy Savage.
Right. Yeah, all his big rivalry guys are dead.
So, like, those two guys, to me, would be the ones that it's just like, okay, if I look back on it, those would probably be the first two names, or those, well, those are really the first three names that would pop into my head.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you just wonder if Hogan's in the hatchet burying mode too. Although, did I see a headline that said he was cool with the Warrior or something like that? Everything's okay.
Yeah, that's what was said. Who the hell knows what the truth is with him? But yeah,
if it gets me on the card, brother.
That's right. Give me that paycheck, dude. So. Sting would be logical, but he wouldn't do it. That's all possible.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I don't know because the announcers back then, what, you could get maybe Jesse Ventura to do it?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because obviously no Gorilla.
Yeah.
The Brain isn't going to do it, I don't think.
No. If he was 100% healthy, he wouldn't do it. He never liked the Warrior. No, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, Mean Gene, maybe? I don't know how he is with Warrior and that... in that department.
The thing about Mean Gene is, I mean, man, that guy is an alcoholic. Every now and then, Levitard has him on the show, and he is always drunk. So I don't know if I'd even want him giving a speech like that, because you know it would be slurred and sad, you know?
Oh, so what you're telling me is he was the one that thought that that 800 hotline number would be a good line that bombed?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, I felt bad for him with that one. But anytime you remember it and you laugh and then you're like, oh, not that many people, even the parents, remember that. I'm in trouble.
That's right. Oh, my God, that's so funny. Kids, get your parents' permission.
Does Warrior have any kids? Because having a couple of children done the inductions.
Interesting.
I guess, you know, if I'm trying to come up with, people to do that.
Sure.
I'm not sure if, why don't we try to look that up?
Yep. Well, great. The cat spilled water here. I'm just finding out. Good day for the cats in this house. Jesus. they better be lucky that I went through anger management, damn it. I could be really angry right now. Anyway.
Yeah.
While we're buying time, I saw somebody joke online. the best guy to induct Ultimate Warrior would be Darren Young.
Well, didn't he end up having that match with what's his name, Orlando Jones, like over in Spain a couple of years ago?
Yep.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be completely crazed to think of that. It's Goddard's. Oh, yeah, no, he only has, he has two daughters.
Interesting. Here's something I thought about a couple weeks ago, and I want to run this by you. You ever notice that these macho shithead alpha male guys only ever have daughters? Like, the more macho shithead you are, the more, like, red-faced dictator guy you are, you have a daughter. I mean, that's like God's little joke on these guys, because you know they want a son to follow in their legacy. So.
Well, good thing for Hulk Hogan, he got one of each, but
oh, nasty Nick. He's so nasty.
Yeah, but he acted like a bitch, though, after he wrecked that car, so.
Indeed. Indeed.
yeah, no, I guess that's an interesting observation, but
yeah.
I'm trying to think of other people that are definitely in that category. Well, I guess, yeah, because it's Warrior and him, and I'm trying to think of, I guess it's pretty bad that the first thing I went with was thinking about my brother having two daughters.
Okay. Yeah. Oops.
Oh, man.
I'm sure your brother is a very nice guy.
Yeah, no, he is. He was just a big brother.
Okay. I gotcha. Understood.
You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens, but everything's
yep.
cool now.
Right on. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. I don't know. Is there anything else? I mean, is there any anyone that you think in particular leads the voting for an inductee speech?
Yeah, I think we've covered it. Like, there isn't really one logical person it could be. I think anyone they choose is going to make me go, okay. You know, a little bit like, that's interesting. That's kind of weird. Unless I'm just completely missing somebody, I'm going to be a little bit surprised with whoever they choose. So, and, his speech, if he turns it on a little at the end and, you know, does the little... A little sampling of the old warrior craziness, that'd be fun. So
I certainly hope we get some of that craziness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just for the same reasons that we would love the Vince having an angle after he's dead there. You know, you know some people would just get pissed off if he goes a little crazy.
Yeah.
And it'll be kind of funny to just see the reaction and watch that whole thing go down.
Absolutely.
Oh. Well, one man giving speeches in the WWE is not being heard at all,
okay.
And that would be one Bray Wyatt.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What's
going on with him?
Yeah. Now, weren't we just talking about how they were burning a pile of money with Daniel Bryan last week?
Yes.
Am I allowed to go this week and go, there are a bunch of chicken shits for not going through with this angle?
Absolutely. absolutely. They must be allergic to money. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. Just all these forest fires of money that they're setting.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess it's good that Brian's a baby face.
Yeah.
But you're completely killing Wyatt's character.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is my biggest argument with wrestling right now. There's a way to do that. And it's not at all how they did it, you know?
And, like, even if they stretched it out until the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
And they have a spot where
yep.
Bray Wyatt says, okay, now you've got to pitch yourself,
yeah,
you know, to show it. And then he just knocks him out of the ring. You're like,
exactly. Exactly. Logical, better. I saw somebody post that online and I went, yeah, that's it exactly, you know? I love that you said chicken shit, by the way, because that is just the perfect word for their booking. Chicken shit. It's like they're afraid. I don't understand it, but that's exactly what it is. Like
I guess I go with chicken shit just because to me it's like you've committed to making him a bad guy.
Yeah. Yep.
You've done the heavy lifting.
Yep.
Now during the kind of intermediate slightly easier phase, you're going to bail out on it?
Right.
Still scratching my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's perfect, what you just said. Yeah, I like it.
I hadn't seen that idea. I'm not surprised that it was floated out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kind of found it funny that I was just on the opposite side of the fence after being one way last week talking about the whole Michigan State thing and whatnot.
Sure. No, you're right, though. You're right. I don't even know. There's so many better ways to do. And I think it's like, I think this is what made me get so frustrated with wrestling lately. There's so many other ways. You shouldn't, let me organize my thoughts here. Wrestling shouldn't make you go, well, I would have done this on every single angle, you know? And that's kind of the point I'm at. And this is the perfect example of it. So I'm glad you brought it up. This is just one of those ways where I would have been like, yeah, this would be so much better if they did it like this, you know? And I hate sounding like know-it-all wrestling analyst guy, but it's frustrating.
I was kind of amused when Joe Dombrowski posted a similar line of thought.
Okay.
Because he's just like, oh, you would think that these people that love wrestling, you know, would stop watching it with as much as they bitch or that they know how to book better.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, I haven't been given the chance.
Right.
And then if you're also going to say that, tell me what made that your choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't really hear, even from the wrestlers sometimes, you don't hear that much about the angles that got canceled. Or,
right.
John Cena on Total Divas. Was it on Total Divas? That someone mentioned that he's like, it was Edge on the Nexus angle.
Okay.
When Edge did Talk is Jericho.
Sure.
He mentioned that Cena came, that Edge and a couple other people were telling Cena to lose to Nexus because, you know, that would really get them over. And
Right.
Cena's said, you know, they're like, oh, Cena didn't see it that way, but then he came back after, you know, all was said and done. It's like, you know what, guys, I fucked that one up.
Interesting.
You know, he's like, I shouldn't have done that. Your opinion was right. So it's just like, you know, people are like, oh, well, if you knew the backstage politics, and it's just like, well, then that's not an answer. Like, tell me what those politics were, and then you're like, oh, okay, that makes me understand why you did it that way better.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just don't throw a blanket statement out like, oh, you don't know what's going on. Well, then if I don't know what's going on, it's your job to inform me.
Exactly. By the way, I would love for that to be a show. They got that new WWE network. I want to see backstage politics. Like, Raven told the story in one of his 8 billion shoot interviews, where every Monday night they would write up a script for the show, and then he would come in and go to Terry Taylor and negotiate the loss into a win, right? Like, I want to see that kind of stuff. Like, oh, Terry, that's a great idea. But what if I won instead? So I'd love to see that kind of politicking, you know? I'd love to be privy to that information. It would help me make more educated opinions on stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where I think even general managers of professional teams give you more information, even though they are allergic to giving out real information.
Absolutely. The Dolphins are doing a really bizarre thing lately. They just fired Jeff Ireland, thank God, one of the worst human beings still on this planet, and like, they're being just overly transparent about everything. You know, we fired him because of this, this, and this. And then they'll send out press releases. We just talked to this guy about the general manager opening. I mean, they're walking you through every step. It's really interesting. It's rarely done in sports or anywhere anymore. So.
Yeah, and then there is that, well, you just said it, there's like, sometimes it's just like they don't seem to be able to go, it's either they're way too tight-lipped, or it's
mm-hmm.
just like, you're going to sink the ship here, pal.
Yep, mm-hmm, that's right.
You know, I mean, I guess I don't mind some level of secrecy in that department, plus I'm... You know, I don't know. I guess I just don't feel like following it that much.
Sure. Understood.
Oh, come on. Oh, I'm just trying to burp over here. It's just not working.
What is said in WWE locker room stays in WWE locker room. Right?
Yeah. Well, no, and I'm trying to think, well, the Montreal screw job has been gone over enough. Like, I mean,
yeah.
There are some instances, you know, of that politicking coming out, but...
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, I still think that there's a far larger shortage, and I think that's, you know, I mean, that's what you can only go with. Like, you can only sum up your opinion with the information you're given.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's just like, well, then, yeah, again, go back to help me out here some.
Yeah, right.
And you're right. That would be, I would watch that. Like, if that was part of the pre-Raw show every week.
Yeah.
I'd be in for that.
Sure. I feel like we're closer than ever to a point where they would do that, but I feel like they wouldn't, you know? Not yet, anyway.
Oh.
But, you know?
Yeah, no. Total Divas is still entirely too scripted, so I don't think they would give you access that far.
See, I can't bring myself to watch that one, but I do read the reviews there, so.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't bring yourself to watch that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, no, I thought that that she might enjoy the, since she likes liked the Real Housewives and Snooki and JWoww. I was like, oh, maybe I can pawn at least one article off on somebody else.
Nice.
I'm like, okay, let's see if I can get her into this one. But really, like after the end of each season or both of the season finales or whatever, the mid-season finale and the season finale, she just looked at me like, really, do we need to keep on doing this?
There's no way to say yes in that spot.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a little tough to say yes.
Right. Oh,
wow. Oh man. But what the hell? It would all started with Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan and them shitting the bed on that angle.
I
like your Royal Rumble scenario, and I wish they had done that. Or if somebody has a better idea, go ahead and post it. You know, that'd be interesting to hear your ideas. There's nothing better than I would have done this journalism. I do it all the time, and it makes people feel better. So go ahead and post if you have a better idea. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that we didn't really address, although I definitely said it, was... what's his name? Bray Wyatt. I've been beating the drum that he needed to have a convert.
Mm-hmm.
To really, bring home that gimmick. Like, and it didn't honestly need to be as large as Daniel Bryan.
Well, Kane would have been perfect, and we've talked about that in the past. Like, how weird it was that they seemingly set it up to be Kane, and then Kane came back doing something completely different. And that was just such a bizarre decision, and another example of them just missing the beat, you know?
And that's one where I love it, and we've talked about Kane's morphability and what kept him around.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's no reason that same thing doesn't happen if he goes into the Wyatt family.
Absolutely.
What's happening right now.
Like, he is the chameleon of all time. He could fit in just about any sort of role. It would have been great for him, and it would have made sense. So I don't see any negative there. And he's on a lower level than Daniel Bryan right now also.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and it didn't need to be Daniel Bryan at all. So.
Yeah, no, I just, I don't get it from either side. I mean, that really might be the only thing on Raw that I had a real major problem with.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. Totally with you there. It's frustrating.
Yeah, because that's it. I forget who it was on the Facebook message board there. It's just like, I don't have anything to complain about Raw this week. And I just kind of looked at him. I looked at it. I didn't type anything, but I just thought to myself, I'm like, well, the Royal Rumble's 2 weeks away.
Yep.
And WrestleMania is three months, I guess.
Ish, yep.
Yeah, two and a half, whatever it is exactly.
Yep.
It's just like, okay, if you're on this message board, you have probably heard the theory that the WWE writers show up from January until WrestleMania.
Right.
So the fact that this Raw was a good one was in no way a surprise to me, I guess. Like, I guess. I wouldn't have been, like, I wouldn't have thought to bring that up.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, yeah, and this, you know, I don't think this was any different, really, because they're building up, well, rebuilding Big Show for about the 90 billionth time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is a question that I asked on my Almost Live, definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw.
Okay.
Was the New Age Outlaws walking out on CM Punk, does that confirm to you that there will be a CM Punk Triple H match at WrestleMania?
I think it does. I think that lays the groundwork, absolutely. In fact, I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen, because then what was the point, you know? But they always seem, like you said, to lay the groundwork in January. January Raws are usually really good, so, and they set the table. So, yeah, I think it's very likely that it's Punk and Trips, as I like to call them.
You're tight with them, huh?
I am. You know, we do weightlifting together. So I feel like I'm going to get my push any day here.
Outstanding.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Hmm.
By the way,
this
is the second audio in a row where I've done steroid gummies before the show to really enhance my performance. So well, that's just between you and me, okay?
Okay. We will keep that on the down low.
All right. All right.
Just as long as you're not shooting up in the dugout with the cats, we'll.
That's right. Indeed.
Oh man. Well, I mean, there was one bit of. Are we deep enough in here to just fuck it? I don't care.
Okay.
Right. Well, you just brought up the baseball, and it was one that I was going to ask you about. Oh, yeah,
okay.
we're about 45 minutes in. Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
The $215 million.
Yep. I mean, it's exactly the Yankees giving a contract to A-Rod back in the day. Any contract over 4 years, I immediately go, But when it gets to be 7 or 10 years, like, I'm on full alert drudge siren. That's stupid. You just got taken to the cleaners by Kershaw's agent. 7 years for anybody is ridiculous. I don't care if he's the best right now. And by the way, Kershaw is not the best. I think Jeremy can attest to it. There's a guy in Detroit who's a little bit better. And I wouldn't give him 7 years. So I don't understand at all. Like, every time a new collective bargaining agreement comes up, all the owners are like, well, you know, we got to control these contracts and stuff. And it happens in every sport. It's still happening in basketball, where the Lakers gave Kobe Bryant like $1 zillion a year for the next 2 years. The spending is still out of control. And to give Kershaw that many years on top of the money figure is just it's preposterous to me, if I can use an outdated word.
Yeah, well, and there's just not only that. He's the pitcher.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, they're high value, but they're also high problem, and that kind of
right.
plays even more into your long-term contract.
When his arm falls off in year three, oh, is that going to look bad?
Yeah, baby mama drama, always used to love, and not to say that he is the modern-day version of this person, but he always loved to talk about Mike Hampton.
Okay.
Because I think he was one of the first guys to get, like, double digits in the million-dollar department, like 15 or something crazy like that.
Okay.
And, like, he blew out his arm, and he didn't play in the majors for a couple of those years.
Yep.
And then finally played like the last 2 years or 3 years of the contract, and really just was not as good as he was.
That's right. You know, in a perfect world, I'd like to see everybody get a 1 year contract. So they're always playing for their next contract, giving maximum effort, because you got guys like Adrian Beltre, who is the classic epitome of a contract year player who feels like he can dog it in the middle of year three, you know? So there's that. And then it also protects the team. Like, if something like this happens with A-Rod, A-Rod's got 3 years left on his contract. The Yankees are on the hook for like $60 million more with him, whether he ever plays for them or not. You need to protect yourself that way also. So that's the way I'd like to do it, one-year contracts.
That the off-season would be very interesting.
It would. It would. It'd be a circus. I understand the argument against it, but there's obviously some middle ground in between that's better than seven-year contracts. So.
Yeah, no, there are just a lot of bad contracts that are long.
Yeah.
And I know, well, and I mean, even the NHL was in no way immune to them, which is why they gave teams, after their new collective bargaining agreement, one buyout per year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
You know, if you hung a shitty contract on someone, you don't have just one chance, but you have two chances.
That's right.
To right your wrongs.
Right. It's the classic protecting you from yourself kind of thing. And by the way, look up Amari Stoudemire's contract and wonder aloud to yourself why the Knicks haven't used it on him.
Oh, ESPN. Good for that.
There's 3 years left on that bad boy. And he is totally done. Like, right now, he is done. So.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much from the Knicks. So I would imagine he's toast.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. Who the hell? Oh, yeah. You said Knicks.
Yeah. The Knicks are a circus, too, and I love that. I love when teams I hate are circuses.
Oh, my Lord. 21 mil?
Yep.
Yep. Well, 21 and a half for
right.
9.7, 4.4, and 0.4 blocks a game.
Right. Woo! That's the
wow.
That's the kind of production that you need from a $20 million player.
Yeah, well, and even in sports, the NFL, I mean, in
yep.
some ways, they have the one-year contract.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But then
right.
you can also still fuck yourself because
like the Steelers are in the position. They gave just a shit ton of money to Lamar Woodley.
Okay.
Who was sacking every motherfucker in the world when James Harrison wasn't getting there first.
Yeah.
And he just in no way has carried that label since signing that contract and still being across from James Harrison for two of those years and this year. Just terrible. And, I mean, I guess he didn't really have anyone on the other side, but
right.
he still just didn't look good.
Right.
And he didn't have very
exactly.
many tackles either. But
yep.
The Steelers would still be on the hook for, like, a majority of his contract. Like,
right.
even if they cut him right, well, I think there's two different, they can either cut him now or later and, you know, prorate it over 2 years or something like that.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, you're still just getting screwed. And I mean,
right.
I guess that's the other thing. It's just like even though the NFL kind of has your idea at least twinkled in there, like there's still a lot of things working against that.
Right. It's amazing how much control the players have in terms of the money they get. Good for them, you know, really. Good for Stoudemire.
Good for
I can't blame anybody for getting paid, you know?
Oh, no. No. I think you said it right. Kershaw's agent did it right. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know,
if I'm a sports player, I call him today. And be like, hey, can you help me out? You know?
Oh, man. Is he a Boris guy?
Oh, I have no idea. Wouldn't surprise me. See if that information is readily available here.
Yeah, no, that's it. I'm trying to look it up here.
J.D. Smart? Got a good name.
Yeah, haven't heard that one, but I think he's going to get a couple more clients after that that contract signing.
Absolutely. That's just smooth by him. You made a perfect point about pitchers, but it's risky for anyone, and it made my head explode, you know? But the Dodgers are totally that team who will just spend for anybody.
Oh. Yeah, no, that definitely cracks me up.
Yeah.
And in that department, just because I don't think they didn't even win the West.
No, not at all. Mm-mm. Very mediocre for the money they put out.
You know, I guess it's always funny to sit there, and as poorly as the Pirates always did, it was amusing to watch the Cubs do a whole lot of nothing, too.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, there we go. There's a good final topic. Did you see the Cubs' new mascot?
Yeah, you know what? I did actually. I have heard a lot of talk about it, but I have not seen the mascot itself.
Okay.
And now I'm just trying to find it, and I don't know why it didn't come up. I'm looking at a shirtless Kung Fu Panda instead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that one definitely goes to your point. Oh, it's a contract year. I can't believe he's in shape.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's like magic, you know?
Yeah, and on top of that, oh, my gosh. Okay.
I am, even though we spent the whole audio talking about other stuff, I am definitely going to use that picture as our picture for this audio so that people can just stare at it in all its splendor. So.
Uh,
Because that mascot speaks to me, Kevin. You know what it says? You know what it says?
What does it say?
The Cubs are headed to the World Series. That's right.
Yep. You need a bear to break the curse of the goat.
That's right. That's right. You know, because rock beats scissors and bear beats goat. So there you go.
Well, good luck to them and their boy wonder in the general manager's seat.
Absolutely.
I will be okay if somehow the Pirates can manage to hold on to Neil Huntington. So
that would be nice. That would be nice.
Yes, it would. But one of those guys from one of those big teams is going to get booted at some point.
And then they're gonna just drop a suitcase full of money from a helicopter at him, and he'll probably take it. But let's hope not. Yep.
No, it's like being a fan of the Mac. You sit there and you're like, "Oh, I really love that coach. Oh shit, he's going to the Big Ten."
That's right. Yep. That's it exactly.
So. Yep, it's probably inevitable. So I will deal with it, and
right on.
You know how I'm going to deal with it with the big time here.
Oh, look at you!
Yep. So hashtag that, kids, and me and my privates are going to get away from the bear and get on out of here.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFranco. For cats knocking everything in your house over and spilling everything, I am Dusty Giebing. Step away from the bear!